الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وبعد.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا.
Oh, you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is right, that which is proper. Brothers and sisters, last time when we were with Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, we were with him when the Khalifa Mu'tasim had just given an offer to him and had given him an offer that, look, if you would just compromise a little bit, if you would just agree with him a little bit, that he would free him and Imam Ahmad would walk a free man. But Imam Ahmad was a mountain of faith. He was a man of principle. And his humble request at that time to the Khalifa was, أَعْطُونِي شَيْئًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَوْ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Just give me something from the book of Allah عَزَّ وَجَلْ or the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just don't give me any intellectual reasoning, and especially when it doesn't have any basis in the Quran and the Sunnah, that's not going to really matter much. So the Khalifa, he gave up and he sent him back to prison. Imam Ahmad says that when I went back that day, on the second day after Dhuhr, there were two scholars who came to try to debate with me. And they were not able to convince me of anything. And then they left. Then he says, in the evening, the prime minister, he had the position of the prime minister of Baghdad at that time. His name was Ahmad ibn Abi Duad. He said, he came to me and he said, the Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen, wants to know what you've decided. As if the Khalifa didn't know already. But he thought that after all of this, Imam Ahmad would soften up. Because remember, Imam Ahmad still had all those chains upon him. And he was feeling very weak. So he thought Imam Ahmad would now begin to soften a little. So he sent Ahmad ibn Abi Duad to find out, what does he think now? What has he decided? Again, Imam Ahmad responded with a conviction of a believer and as stable as a mountain. He said, أَعْطُونِي شَيْئًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَوْ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَقُولُ بِهِ. Give me something from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal or the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad or the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so I can then talk about it. Ahmad ibn Abi Duad, he said, you know, after you left today, after he sent you back after Dhuhr, he gave me a list of about 7 people who are going to be executed. And then he erased your name off that list of people who are going to be executed. And instead, he puts your name on the list of the people who are going to be whipped by the whip. And so it's not the sword that he's going to use for you. He's going to use the whip. Again, he thought that this would soften Imam Ahmad. But Imam Ahmad was strong in his faith. Nothing could tempt him. Nothing could change him because he knew his aqidah well. Nothing would shake Imam Ahmad. So Imam Ahmad again repeated for the third time, أَعْطُونِي شَيْئًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَوْ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Give me something from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal or the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Give me something that would prove it. Again, Ahmad ibn Abi Duad was frustrated and he also left. Imam Ahmad says on the next day, the third day, I felt in my heart that something's going to happen today. Something's definitely going to happen. And so I asked the guards to go in the morning of the third day. I asked them to go get a string because I was afraid that if I would be whipped and if I fell unconscious, then my pants would fall. And so I asked them to get a string so I could tie my pants, you know, tighter so that my pants wouldn't fall if I lost consciousness. So he says, I did that. Then he said, they took me to the palace. And today when I came to the palace, I saw everything changed. And definitely it was a different day today. He said, I saw people who had weapons. I saw people who had swords. I saw people, you know, who had whips in their hands. I saw scores of troops all around the palace, outside and inside. Everywhere I saw troops. And outside I saw that there's a huge amount of people who gathered. But before anything happened, before the interrogation began, before the hearings began, he said, the Khalifa sent two messengers to me. And these two messengers, they came up to me and they said, you know, get a grip of yourself. You know, understand what's going on. The Khalifa is worried about you, just like he would be worried about his son. They were trying to tell him that, you know, change your mind before it's too late. Go a little easy. Imam Ahmad, again, his famous statement, أعطوني شيئاً من كتاب الله عز وجل أو سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Give me something from the book of Allah عز وجل or the sunnah of the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of the people who was there as an eyewitness on that day, he was a government worker. He says, his name was Ahmad ibn al-Faraj. He says that I was going into work on that day and I noticed that there were a lot of people and they had all closed down their shops and they had grabbed their weapons. And so he says, I began wondering, and certainly today, Baghdad was a different place. The world in Baghdad had totally changed today. And everyone was concerned about Imam Ahmad. People were talking about Imam Ahmad. And people were ready to give up their lives and to sacrifice whatever they had to sacrifice just so Imam Ahmad could live. So he says that I saw that the Khalifa also noticed there's a lot of people gathered everywhere and there were crowds forming. And so he asked his troops, and there were armed troops, to be around the palace and so on. The people were just amazed to see the courage of this great imam. And he said, I went up to some of the people in the crowd just to ask them to make sure why they had gathered. So he says, when I asked them why they had all gathered, they said, today Imam Ahmad is going to be tested because of the Quran. Today Imam Ahmad is going to be tested because of the Quran. So he said, I went to one of the guards at the palace and I asked them to let me in so I can go right, you know, to the front row there to see exactly what happened. He says, I got to the front row and there, just as I got there, the hearing began with Imam Ahmad. And Imam Ahmad had not arrived, but the Khalifa had arrived. And the Khalifa said real loud, where is this man who says that Allah talks, that Allah speaks? Where is this man? And where is this man who has said that Allah, you know, Allah has a tongue and Allah has a mouth to speak with? Of course, Imam Ahmad never said anything of the kind. All Imam Ahmad said was Allah speaks. He didn't say that he needs a tongue like human beings and he needs a mouth like human beings. Because there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is something that the Khalifa himself added. So, soon Imam Ahmad was brought in. And Imam Ahmad, when he was brought in, he was brought in with his jail shirt. It was a different shirt that they had put on him. And they had a hood on his head. It may sound familiar to some of the things going on today. So they put a hood on his head. And so he came in and he didn't see the people. But he heard everything that was going around and how the people were whispering. And he felt, you know, that definitely today was a very serious day. And so they brought him and they put him in front of the Khalifa. And Imam Ahmad put one hand over the other. And he said, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. You know, there's no movement nor strength save through Allah. And Imam Ahmad, after saying this, he began listening. And in the meanwhile, the crowds outside, they were gathering more and more. In the meanwhile, the crowds outside were gathering more and more. People were wondering what's going on. Imam Ahmad says the dialogue began. And Mu'tasim began asking him, so you are Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And Imam Ahmad said, I am Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal. So he said, you're the one who, I understand you're the one who's saying that Allah talks and Allah speaks and the Quran is not created. Where did you get all of this? So Imam Ahmad said, I got it from the book of Allah. He said, where did you read it in the book of Allah? So Imam Ahmad said, there are plenty of places. He said, like what? So he told him again, وَلَكِنْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ مِنِّي. He quoted a verse from the Quran, from Surah Al-Sajdah. He said, وَلَكِنْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ مِنِّي لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. That my word is going to come true. The speech of Allah is going to come true. Wherein he said that I'm going to fill the hellfire with jinn and mankind. So Imam Ahmad said, this is what Allah says. Do you think there's somebody other than Allah who has said this? Mu'tasim again was totally dumbfounded. So he turned to his scholars who were there, like Bishr al-Marisi and Ibn al-Zayyat and Ahmad ibn Abi Duad, and he asked them, Nadhiru, you know, debate him, say something to him. But all the other scholars who were there, they had all had their turns to debate Imam Ahmad, and they were all frustrated. And so their only reaction now, because they were so frustrated, they couldn't defeat Imam Ahmad because of his incredible proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They could not defeat him. They could not overcome his arguments. So they only had one reaction. And they said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, uqtul. Oh, leader of the believers, kill him. Kill him. Mu'tasim got up immediately and he went right in front of Imam Ahmad, who had the hood on him, and he didn't know what was going to happen. And Mu'tasim reared back with his hand, all the way back, and he brought his hand to slap Imam Ahmad on his face. And he slapped him so hard that Imam Ahmad fell on the ground, unconscious. He did not move, Imam Ahmad. When this happened, some of the troops who were there, they were from Khurasan. They were the friends of Hanbal, the grandfather of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. They immediately got up and they left. Mu'tasim was surprised at what happened. Mu'tasim was now afraid that now, because of Imam Ahmad, there's going to be a revolution among his ranks. Some of his people had already begun to leave. And so immediately he told the guards who were there, he told them, you know, bring some water and sprinkle him with water, put water on him, you know, to bring him back into consciousness. So they took off the hood and they were putting water on him. And they put many buckets of water on him. Finally, Imam Ahmad regained consciousness. When he regained consciousness, he saw that his uncle, Ishaq ibn Hanbal, the uncle of Imam Ahmad, was in front of him. And in front of his uncle was the Khalifa, Mu'tasim. And his uncle was begging him to let Imam Ahmad go. You see, his uncle also had succumbed. His uncle had also begun to say that the Quran was created. He had yielded. He had capitulated to the Khalifa. And he had given in. But he was pleading on behalf of Imam Ahmad. So Imam Ahmad, he was, you know, on the ground. He looked up at his uncle and he began talking to his uncle and ignored the Khalifa, totally, boldly ignored the Khalifa. And he said, you know, the one who threw all this water on me, it looks like he's a little bit upset. I mean, look at the presence of mind that Imam Ahmad had. He said, it looks like he's a little bit upset. And he was purposely saying this to anger the Khalifa. You know, as if to say that, look, we've been talking like human beings, just are debating with each other, and now you're going to hit me, you know, just because of the arguments from the Quran and the Sunnah? Is that something that's right? Is that something that's just? So the Khalifa, He got very upset. And he said, you don't think that I know what you're trying to do? Meaning that you're trying to, you know, talk down to me? So at that point, some of the other people who were there, they said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen! Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen! Uqtulhu hatta nastariha min. Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, go ahead and kill him so that we will be relieved of his presence. We'll get rid of him forever. So, Mu'tasim, the Khalifa, he said, I made a promise to Allah that I'm not going to kill him by the sword. And I'm not going to tell anybody to kill him by the sword. Instead, I'm going to do something else. So the other scholars who were there, they said, okay, use the whip. So he said, I swear that I'm going to use this whip and I'm not going to stop whipping him until he says that the Quran is created, until he says what I'm saying. And so the punishment began. Imam Ahmad says that they dragged me on my face and they took me between these two huge planks of wood and they tied me up. And then they called these big, huge men who were going to whip me. And one of them brought forward a whip to Mu'tasim to show him what the whip looked like. Mu'tasim didn't like the whips. He asked for another stronger, bigger whip. And so that whip was brought in front of him. Then Mu'tasim ordered the first one who's going to strike Imam Ahmad. And he's all tied up. Now, he said to him, come close to me. So that man, he came close to Mu'tasim and he said, Awji'. Hit him as hard as you can and give him as much pain as you can give him. So the man, and there was a whole line of these strikers or these whippers, you could say. There's a whole huge line of them. 20, 30 of them. So the first one went up and he whipped Imam Ahmad as hard as he could. Twice. Mu'tasim says, stop. Then he told him to step aside, and he asked the second one to come up and then whip him. Because you see, Mu'tasim did not want any of those whippers to get tired. So he wanted to give him his full strength when he whipped Imam Ahmad. So the first one came, and then the second one came, and the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, the sixth one, and all the entire line of these people, they came and they whipped Imam Ahmad. The people were watching. There were people outside. Mu'tasim was getting angrier by the minute. And the scholars, they were also getting very mad. Because Imam Ahmad still was holding strong. One of the men, he yelled out that, look, the Khalifa is standing in front of you. Your Amir al-Mu'mineen is standing in front of you. You should obey him. Mu'tasim, he came down from his seat and he came to Imam Ahmad, tied between the two planks of wood. And he took out his sword, and from the other end of the sword, the handle of the sword, he picked it up and he started beating Imam Ahmad with the metal handle of the sword. Imam Ahmad was hurting all over. He had already been whipped more than 60 times. And here the Khalifa is now hitting him with the hard handle of his sword. Imam Ahmad, going through all of this, the people saw the police chief of Baghdad. He came forward, Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, and he told Imam Ahmad that, look, just say what he's saying. Just say what he's saying. He's the Khalifa. Obey him. Imam Ahmad still did not listen. He was holding strong for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the cabinet ministers of the Khalifa, he yelled out, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, cut off his neck right now. But again, Mu'tasim didn't. Mu'tasim, now frustrated, he came back to his chair and he sat on his chair. And now he summoned the strongest of the whippers. He hadn't whipped Imam Ahmad yet. It was a big man, and he was the best of the whippers. So he called him forward. The man came forward and he said, How many whips, how many times do you have to whip Imam Ahmad till he dies? How many whips will it take to kill him? So the man said, 5 or 10, or at the most 15 or 20, but not more than that. And so the man was given the order by Mu'tasim. Mu'tasim said, go ahead, kill him. And hit him as hard as you can. And the faster you finish this business, the better for all of us. So the man started whipping Imam Ahmad. After about the 14th or the 15th time, finally, the pure blood of Imam Ahmad gushed forth from his shoulders and fell to the ground. As the blood flowed to the ground, the whipper kept on hitting Imam Ahmad. The people were aghast to see the patience of this great scholar, to stay on the haqq, to stay on the truth. They admired his courage, rahimahullah. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. To such a degree that the police chief of Baghdad at that time, Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, innahu insanun da'eeful jism. He said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, look, this is just a man. He's weak in his body. Because Imam Ahmad was bearing all this whipping despite his weak body. He said, this is just a weak man. Let him go. So the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Mu'tasim, the Khalifa, he said, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتَ قَوْلِي. You heard what I said. I swore that I'm not going to let him go and I'm not going to stop whipping him until he says what I'm saying. So Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, the police chief of Baghdad, he came up with a plan. He asked the Khalifa, he said, can I just have permission to talk to him just for a second? So the Khalifa said yes. And so Ishaq ibn Ibrahim went to Imam Ahmad. And Imam Ahmad at this point was delirious. He did not know what was going on around him because he was beaten so silly. And his body was on fire from the whips. He was aching all over. So, Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, he went to Imam Ahmad and he began whispering in his ears and he said, Ya Aba Abdullah. It was one of the names of Imam Ahmad was Abu Abdullah. So he said, Ya Aba Abdullah, O Abu Abdullah. لَقَدْ تَابَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَنْ مَقَالَتِهِ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ La ilaha illallah. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, he whispered in his ears. Nobody else could hear except Imam Ahmad. He said that Amir al-Mu'mineen has gone back on what he was saying about the fact that the Quran was created. He was lying to Imam Ahmad. He said that the Amir al-Mu'mineen has repented from what he has been saying. And what he is saying is La ilaha illallah. Imam Ahmad, he only heard the last part. And so Imam Ahmad responded and said, with a lot of exhaustion in his voice, he said, Kalimatul Ikhlas. Wa ana aqul la ilaha illallah. He said, this is the statement of sincerity, of devotion to Allah. And I also say, La ilaha illallah. When Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, the police chief of Baghdad, heard this, he yelled out immediately. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, لَقَدْ قَالَ كَمَا تَقُولُ Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, look, he said exactly what you're saying. So Mu'tasim thought that, oh, Imam Ahmad had now gone easy, and he had finally relented. So everyone who had stood up and was watching this entire thing within the palace, they all, the people's voices got really loud because people couldn't believe that Imam Ahmad had now relented and had said what the Khalifa wanted him to say. And the Khalifa couldn't believe it. And so as the voices got louder and louder outside, the masses of the Muslims who had crowded out outside, they were also very amazed. And they thought something had happened to Imam Ahmad. And so they also began to make a lot of noise outside. So the Khalifa, he heard the noise outside, so he sent some of his messengers to his balconies and to see what's going, to look down and see what's going on outside. And so the messengers, they came back to Mu'tasim and they said, look, there's pandemonium outside. The people are swearing that they're going to kill you. And we're warning you that we feel that you should send Imam Ahmed in front of them so the people calm down. So the Khalifa Mu'tasim, he became very afraid. And he told the people, Al-Bisu, you know, put his clothes back on and take him out there in front of the people. So they took him out in front of the people and the people calmed down. And the people, they began saying, Ma qulta ya Aba Abdullah hatta naqul. Oh Abu Abdullah, talk to Imam Ahmed. Oh Imam Ahmed, what did you say so we can say the same thing? Imam Ahmed waited till the whole crowd outside, there were thousands of people outside. He waited till everybody quieted down. And he said, Ma asa an aqul. What else should I say? He said, all of you reporters who are here, pay attention. And all of you masses of Muslims, bear witness to what I'm about to say. أن القرآن كلام الله غير مخلوق منه بدأ وإليه يعود. He said that the Quran is the word of Allah, is the speech of Allah, and it's not created, and it started from Him, and it will return to Him. Needless to say, the people were happy that Imam Ahmed has still not budged. He was as strong as ever. But the Khalifa was livid. He was very upset. So he ordered that Imam Ahmed be brought back in. And they brought Imam Ahmed back in. And they closed the doors. And the Khalifa ordered that they start whipping. And they tie him up and they start whipping him. And so the guards, before they even tied him up, they started punching him and beating him and hitting him with sticks and kicking him. And Imam Ahmed fell unconscious. Again. Because of the intense amount of beating. So they threw water on him to bring him back. And so when he came to again, when he regained his consciousness, after beating him for many hours, they decided that they were finished for the day. And so the Khalifa ordered that they bring him this really sweet date drink. It was a sweet drink that was, you know, full of dates and so on. It was a delicacy at that time. So they brought, Imam Ahmed was on the ground, panting and hurting and bleeding. And they bring this date drink in front of Imam Ahmed. And you know what Imam Ahmed says? Wallahi la uftir, inni sa'im. He says, I swear by Allah, I'm not going to break my fast. I'm fasting. Imam Ahmed, you were fasting? Wasn't it hot? Wasn't it difficult? Didn't you have a headache? Oh, you had more than a headache, right? But you're still fasting? You didn't make any excuses? Oh, Allah will forgive. Allah is merciful. Allah is compassionate. No, you didn't make any of those excuses. You're still fasting. After all the beatings and being unconscious and your body bleeding and being whipped and whipped and whipped and whipped, you're still fasting. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, Mu'tasim later on that night, the Khalifa sent a doctor to the jail cell of Imam Ahmed. And the doctor says, والله لقد رأيت من ضرب ألف صوت. He said that I swear by Allah that I've seen people that who were whipped at least 1,000 times. وما رأيت ضربا أشد من هذا. He said that I never saw anybody beaten so badly as this. And the doctor, he began to treat the wounds of Imam Ahmed. And he says that Imam Ahmed was beaten so bad, he was beaten on the back and the front, everywhere, and his body was on fire. There was no place on his body except that it had blood coming from it. He said that he was beaten so badly that I saw some of the flesh of Imam Ahmed hanging off of him. And I told Imam Ahmed, that look, I'm going to have to cut off some of this flesh, otherwise this is dead meat, and if you leave it where it is, it's going to infect the rest of the rest of your body and the other muscles in your body. So Imam Ahmad said, yeah, go ahead, do what you have to do. He says the doctor, he brought his hot iron and he brought his knife. You see, in those days they didn't have anesthesia. They couldn't numb the thing. It was all live. So he put his hot scalding iron on the flesh of Imam Ahmad and he began to burn it and he began to cut it with his knife. And he says, I couldn't believe it. When I looked at the face of Imam Ahmad, he was smiling all the time saying, Alhamdulillah. 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 Imam Ahmad says that these marks, they stayed on him the rest of his life. The son of Imam Ahmad, he says that I heard my dad saying while he was going through all of this, he was saying to himself, لَقَدْ أَعْطَيْتُ الْمَجْهُودَ مِنْ نَفْسِي. He said that I gave it all I had for the sake of Allah. I gave up everything for the sake of Allah. Everything, my body, everything, I gave it for the sake of Allah. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ فَإِنِّي أَرْجُوْ أَنْ أَخْرُجَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا كِفَافًا لَا عَلَيَّ وَلَا لِيَ. He said then, even after all of this persecution and after all of what I had gone through, I just hope and I pray to Allah that when I depart this world, when I leave this world, that I leave such that my score is all even, that there's nothing against me and nothing for me, just that my slate is all even, it's all clean. That's all I care about. This is the great mountain of Iman who's worried about himself. How should we think about our situations today, those of us who've taken our Islam for granted? Those of us who think we already have a foot in paradise. Imam Ahmad was very patient, he was very clement, he was very forgiving. In this state, he spent 28 to 30 months of being beaten and being abused like this. But you know, one day, Mu'tasim, he called out to the uncle of Imam Ahmad and said, go ahead, take him. Take him, I've freed him. لَقَدْ سَلَّمْتُهُ إِلَيْكُمْ. I'm going to go ahead and free him to you. But there's some conditions. There's some conditions. The first thing is that he's going to be under house arrest. And there are going to be guards all around him. He's not allowed to talk to anybody. He's not allowed to have any halaqas with anybody. He's not allowed to teach anybody. Imam Ahmad accepted these conditions. And he was under house arrest. How mean can a person be to a scholar? Whatever form of meanness there was, it was foisted upon Imam Ahmad. But you know, Imam Ahmad had a deep sense of care for human beings. He loved them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't take anything personal. He was clement, he was forgiving, he was merciful, he was compassionate. He overlooked things. It was during his time when he was under house arrest that Mu'tasim got the call from the woman that still rings out all over the world today. That woman who was harassed in Amuriya, she was harassed by some of the non-Muslims. And so she called out really loud, Ya wa Mu'tasima, oh Mu'tasim, help me. And Mu'tasim, when he heard, when some people brought the message to Mu'tasim, he sent an army of 100,000 soldiers to rescue that woman, to Amuriya. When he was getting ready to send that army, Imam Ahmad made a dua for Mu'tasim, who had tortured him and persecuted him, made a dua for him that Allahumma ansurhu. Oh Allah, help him towards victory. Oh Allah, help him to triumph. And when Mu'tasim went, and when they came back and they said to Imam Ahmad that the Muslim army was successful, Imam Ahmad, you know what he said? هُوَ فِي حِلٍّ مِّن ضَرْبِي. He said that I've forgiven him for all his hitting and all his torture and persecution of me. I've forgiven him. You see, Imam Ahmad did not take things personally, although he was whipped and persecuted and tortured. And you heard the story. But he forgave all of that. But what he did not forgive was the bid'ah, was the innovation that Mu'tasim stood for. That's what he didn't forgive. Brothers and sisters, Imam Ahmad says he kept on thinking about this ayah, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Let them forgive and let them overlook things. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you wish that Allah forgive you if you forgive? He said, I kept on thinking about this. And he said, I kept on thinking about another ayah. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That whoever forgives and reconciles and makes up with people, then their reward is with Allah. He said, I kept on thinking about this and I decided to forgive everyone who had tortured me, who had persecuted me, who had whipped me, who had hit me, who had punched me, who had kicked me. I decided to forgive all of them. Brothers and sisters, today, shall we learn from Imam Ahmad and his courage? Courage to forgive. Courage to be merciful. Should our husbands and wives learn from this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْ تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَنْصَبُوا الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. And that you forgive each other, it is closer to taqwa. And don't forget the goodness between you, the husbands and the wives. Should we also learn from Imam Ahmad that despite the situation he was in and the torture that he had gone through, he had the courage to forgive? Because there was a bigger goal, and that was to please Allah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان.
Faith Publication presents Muslim Youth Under the Shade of the Throne by Sheikh Safi Khan, an inspiring series of lectures dedicated to our youth. These motivational talks address young Muslim adults, instilling Islamic values and preparing them for their spot under the shade of Allah's throne. Available at your local Islamic bookstore. To learn more, visit us at www.faithpublications.org or call us at 1-866-FAITH-12.